find out more on the blog, ecoshock.org.
Europe is warming faster than anywhere else on the planet other than the Arctic. In 2003, a deadly heat wave killed tens of thousands of Europeans. A study by the Barcelona Institute for Global Health found over 60,000 heat-related deaths last year in the summer of 2024. What will it be like when the whole Earth is significantly hotter due to climate change? A new paper in Nature Climate Change investigates increasing risk of mass human heat mortality in Europe. The lead author is Dr. Christopher Callahan from Indiana University and the Dorr School of Sustainability at Stanford. Christopher Callahan, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the deadly heat wave in Europe and why it is a focus for climate-driven deaths, that one in 2003.
Yeah, Europe is uniquely vulnerable to the health impacts of extreme heat. It's a place where air conditioning is relatively minimal, at least compared to the United States, and it's a place where the hottest temperatures of the year are rising very rapidly, creating the potential for very deadly conditions. It's also a place where we have already seen very severe heat waves. In August of 2003, there was a very devastating heat wave across France and many other countries in Western Europe, which was really in some ways the first catastrophic heat wave of the climate change era. But now we are seeing similar conditions recur as global temperatures rise, making each additional heat wave more and more dangerous since we're trapping heat in the atmosphere with greenhouse gases.
Well, weather, including heat waves, is notoriously variable. It always has been. How did your group isolate what deaths were caused by weather versus climate change?
Absolutely. We used a machine learning algorithm that had been previously developed by some of our collaborators at Stanford that was able to predict extreme heat conditions in a way that incorporated both the impact of climate change in terms of warming temperatures, as well as the other sort of random variable weather conditions, like how dry the soil is, how intense the heat dome overhead is, and so on. And so we were able to make predictions about future heat waves that said, let's control for all those natural factors. Let's assume the weather variability stays the same, but that in the background, there is this steady march of rising global temperatures. And when you put those two together is when you get really dangerous conditions.
Well, as climate protection seemed to be failing, I mean, emissions are increasing. More scientists warn 3 degrees C of global warming is possible this century. We might pass 2 degrees of warming in a decade or two. What happens, Chris, when a 2003-level heat storm hits Europe again, but in a 3-degree hotter world?
We found that as many as 30,000 people could die across Europe in a single week if the weather conditions that happened in August of 2003 happen again, but the Earth is 3 degrees Celsius warmer than it was in pre-industrial conditions because of human greenhouse gases. This is obviously a staggering death toll. It's close to some of the worst weeks of the COVID pandemic, meaning that it would be associated with significant pressures on the health system and other significant social instabilities.
Okay, but people with means do adapt. A new paper from Christopher Callahan and colleagues found, quote, recent adaptation to heat in France has reduced the projected death tolls of future 2003-like events by more than 75%, end quote. How did you and your 6 co-authors handle expected reduction in deaths as humans adjust and take protective measures?
There's a couple of different things going on here. One is that after the 2003 event, we do see that France is sort of a success story for adaptation to heat. So, for example, they required all nursing homes to have at least one air-conditioned room, which is really important for safeguarding the health of elderly people who are particularly vulnerable. On the other hand, we have not seen comprehensive adaptation to extreme heat spread across Europe in a really universal way. In the more recent paper we published, we showed that if you take existing patterns of adaptation across space and project them into the future to assume that people adapt at the same pace they are now, we would reduce the future death toll of these events by about 10%. That doesn't mean that adaptation is useless, because it could be accelerated. It's just that we have to make the choice to accelerate it rather than simply assuming that it will occur on its own.
So you think future heat waves will overwhelm adaptation even in wealthy countries in Europe?
I think it depends on the policy choices made by those countries. If countries make significant investments in expanding air conditioning, creating heat action plans, creating public cooling centers, doing outreach to vulnerable and isolated people, these are all techniques that we know can reduce the death toll of heat events. But they are choices that have to be made by policymakers, and right now we're seeing major fights, even in domestic politics in some European countries, about how heavily to invest in air conditioning. So ultimately, it's not a foregone conclusion that these countries will be able to successfully adapt.
Plus, then we have a minor problem that heat waves also stress power plants, and so the grid can go down and the AC doesn't work. And there you have people who have expectations that they're safe, and suddenly they're not.
That's absolutely correct. A really dangerous situation for an extreme heat event would be the reduction in electricity availability or overall blackouts as the grid is stressed. Luckily, one of the same investments, renewable energy, that reduces carbon emissions, also creates resilience to extreme heat events. Solar panels are extremely effective when it's hot out and the sun is shining, much more so than thermal power plants like gas or coal, which require cooling from water and from nearby rivers, which we've seen be vulnerable in previous heat waves. So we have the opportunity to mitigate some of these risks, but it's a choice that we have to make.
Currently in Europe, extreme cold is supposed to cause 8 to 10 times more deaths than extreme heat. But how do you see that balance? Is it changing? Now heat's the big threat and not cold?
One of the things that researchers, including myself and my collaborators right now, are still trying to figure out is what is the relative danger of extreme cold versus extreme heat conditions. It does appear that overall cold conditions are responsible for more deaths than hot conditions, and this is mostly because in places like the United States and Europe, we experience a lot of very cold conditions in much of the winters that we have. That said, we know that climate change is causing increases in temperature year-round, and so in the future, we can certainly expect more and more heat-related deaths, irrespective of how many deaths are also caused by cold.
So there is another outlier, and it's being talked about more and more. If the Atlantic Meridional overturning circulation weakens or fails, then the warm tropical waters stop coming to the UK and Northern Europe. Surely that would greatly change any projections and maybe bring back cold rather than heat again.
Yeah, changes in the Atlantic circulation are a significant uncertainty in what the future climate holds, especially for Europe. I'm not an expert in that circulation, so I'm not going to speculate about details, but I can say that if that circulation were to slow down or fail entirely, there would be significant alterations to many different weather patterns in Europe.
One other minor factor on this program, Dr. Camilo Mora from the University of Hawaii told us extreme heat causes organ damage that can show up in deaths up to a year or more later. So there may be a long tail to extreme heat waves and deaths. Did your study take delayed deaths into account?
We only looked at deaths during the week of the heat and the several weeks after. So if it is possible that heat causes damage or injury that might recur, you know, months or years later, that would only raise the total death tolls that we anticipate, but it wasn't directly considered in our study.
Also on Radio EcoShock, Greek scientist Matt Santamouros said the threshold temperature for excess mortality differs. For example, in his native Athens, the danger line is close to 32.5 degrees C, 90 Fahrenheit. People there are adapted to high temperatures, but in London, it's much, much lower when people start to show up in emergency wards. Did your study account for this, and are expectations for mass heat deaths different in southern and northern Europe?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Our study did account for this, where we were able to assess how different locations are vulnerable to different levels of temperature, depending on how adapted they have been historically. So we do see that in colder places, like in northern Europe, it takes less of a heat wave to cause the same death as in southern Europe, because places in northern Europe are less well adapted to those extreme conditions. That said, exactly where the most extreme death toll would occur depends on the location of the heat itself, which sort of depends upon the weather variability. But what we can say is that in general, the same heat wave with the same temperature will end up being more dangerous to people who are living in relatively cold places than people who are living in relatively warm places.
That's so counterintuitive, but it's good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. In the United States, for example, if you think about a heat wave hitting Seattle versus Houston, places in Houston or Texas have a lot more air conditioning than places that typically don't need it.
Well, yes, in the 2021 heat dome here in the Vancouver area in British Columbia, we lost 600 people because there's no air conditioning and no prior experience of that kind of heat.
Absolutely. That 2021 event in particular was one of the most extreme heat events ever witnessed on the planet. Unfortunately, we can expect more of that as global temperatures warm.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.
This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Alex returns with Dr. Chris Callahan on heat deaths in Europe.
Many European countries have aging populations, including France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. What does that mean as more extreme heat arrives?
Typically, we observe that the people that are victims of extreme heat events tend to be elderly people. These are people with potentially more pre-existing health problems or who may be more vulnerable to extreme conditions in general. Our study didn't explicitly consider how different age groups are affected differently. In general, though, there is good evidence that as populations age, we do get more and more vulnerability to heat.
According to a 2024 study by Kai Chen and colleagues, heat deaths double when global mean temperature goes from 1.5 degrees to 2 degrees C of warming, and getting 2 degrees seems pretty likely, and then with growing emissions, 3 degrees C of warming is possible by the end of this century or before, and at 3 degrees of warming, they found deaths are 5 times higher than current heat waves at 1.5 degrees. Does that fit in with your findings, and is global warming kind of a threat multiplier?
I think it is correct to call it a threat multiplier. One thing that we see is that the relationship between heat exposure and mortality risk is nonlinear, meaning every additional degree creates greater and greater risk. The hotter you are, the more each additional degree creates additional exposure and impacts. And so the more we see temperatures rise, the more we should expect each additional increase in greenhouse gas emissions to be more and more dangerous.
Why do you say even 4 degrees C of global warming is plausible if we try gradual decarbonization? That surprised me a bit.
I think it's important to clarify that in general, in this study, we're looking at global temperatures on an annual basis, not a long-term basis. So in general, the current prediction is that we are likely to end up at around 2.8 degrees Celsius of global warming by the end of the century if current emissions policies are maintained. What previous evidence has shown is that if you end up in a climate that's around 2.8 degrees Celsius, you can have additional individual years that are potentially warmer than 3 degrees Celsius because of the sort of random variability of year-to-year temperatures. So I do not think it is particularly likely that we get an individual year that is 4 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial conditions, but even if we don't end up in a 4 degrees Celsius climate, it's still possible to have individual 4 degrees Celsius years.
What if weather becomes more stabilized in a warming world, perhaps as the oceans get more stable and they heat up relatively evenly, so we don't get an event like the 2003 heat wave in Europe, or at least not in this century? Is that plausible?
It's definitely possible that climate change will alter atmospheric circulation and weather patterns in pretty complex ways. This is still an ongoing active area of research, and I don't think we have a clear scientific consensus on this yet. And in fact, our study didn't really look at this question. The only question we were asking was, if these weather patterns recur, what would be their effects? But it's certainly important for the scientific community to figure out if it is possible for them to occur. But the uncertainty on that projection right now is extremely high.
And work by Noah Diffenbaugh and Elizabeth Barnes suggests global warming will drive even more extreme heat waves beyond anything seen in recorded history. What do you think, Chris?
I think that extreme heat is one of the signal impacts of climate change. We know with near absolute certainty that every degree of global warming gives us increases in the intensity and frequency of extreme heat events. And so as long as we continue emitting greenhouse gases, we should expect these extreme heat waves to continue getting more frequent and more intense.
It sounds to me like more and more of people's time and the global economy will be devoted just to surviving the changes in heat. We try to keep the civilization going during hotter and longer-lasting heat waves. Does your research convince you heat survival will become a basic preoccupation in coming decades?
I think it depends on who you are looking at. I do think that heat survival will be a central concern for lower-income people and people who have to work outside. If you are an outdoor worker, a farm worker, someone who works in the open air in some way, you absolutely need to be worried about how you're going to manage your exposure to very hot conditions during the summer. Absolutely.
Chris, take a little time and tell us, what are you working on now?
I'm interested in thinking about the future risk of similar extreme heat events and how we might use our statistical tools to analyze those future events if they occur beyond anything we've currently experienced. We might see extreme heat events that are in any individual region worse than anything that individual region has experienced historically. And so how do we analyze and understand those events given that much of our understanding of climate change is based on our historical experience? So I'm really interested in this tension between needing to prepare for future unprecedented extreme events and the difficulties that those unprecedented events pose for both social and scientific systems.
From the Paul H. O'Neill School of Public and Environmental Affairs at Indiana University, we've been speaking with Dr. Chris Callahan. He leads the article, Increasing Risk of Mass Human Heat Mortality of Historical Weather Patterns Record. And it was published November 18th in Nature Climate Change. You can check it out. I'll put links in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Chris, thank you for this.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.